I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Private Podders. Welcome to another episode of what I like to call the greatest podcast in the world. It's true, it is possibly the greatest podcast in the world. Maybe the longest serving podcast. That's not right. Maybe the UK's most episode podcast. Maybe that's what we could say. Does that even make sense? Over 200 episodes on a Friday, over 60 bonus episodes on a Wednesday. That doesn't even count the other stuff. Anyway, I'm just boasting about myself and that's silly. So we obviously have an episode today, which is very exciting. Francis is on the episode, by the way. I'm just doing the intro today because, you know what, sometimes you just want space to yourself, you know. Sometimes when wah, so much noise around, you just want those little moments where you can sit and relax and just be by yourself. So if we were going to do that together for a second, perhaps we just take a breath in. I don't know why I'm holding a meditation class right now, but anyway, take a breath out. There we go. Now we can get on with the podcast. I'm really excited for the podcast today because we have a complete legend on. I say that every week, but this is a legend. His name is Thomas Turgoose. Now, if you don't know who Thomas is, he was the little boy in This Is England, the main character in that. He's been in lots of other things, but lots of people watched This Is England back in the day. Shane Meadows directed it and wrote it, I think. You should go and check that out if you haven't watched This Is England. But yeah, Thomas came on the podcast. We chatted about meeting once years ago when I was very drunk at the Channel 4 party. I was really drunk that night. And he remembered it, which is embarrassing. You know when you get really drunk and you wake up the next game, do you think anyone noticed? Thomas remembered it 10 years later, so that's how drunk I was, which is not a good sign. So we chatted about that. Francis got deep on movies and different things. And you're going to enjoy this episode today. I think it's a really, really great one. He's a TV hero, a movie legend. He's a Hollywood A-lister. And he's from Grimsby, which is up north. I think it's up north. It is. It's more northern than Watford, which is up north. Anyway, everybody, here we go. If you want to get in contact and get in touch for our bonus episodes, we would love to hear from you. Any reviews, any emails, anything at all. Perhaps you have a charity or community that you want to suggest to us, anything at all, we would love to hear from you. And all you've got to do, very simple, is email us, contact@privatepartspodcast.com, or you can go and check out our Instagram and slide into our DMs at Private Podcast. One of those two. We want to hear from you. We want to chat about you. We want to talk about you because you are our private parters and you are part of the gang. Also, before we start the episode, I want to give a shout out to a friend of mine and a friend of the podcast, Oti Mabusi, who I mentioned this in the bonus episode. So if you haven't listened to the bonus episode, go and listen to it with Alex Mitten. It was hilarious. We prank called Downing Street. Anyway, I don't want to go into that, but it was on the Wednesday episode. But she released her podcast, The Rhythm of Life. She chats different guests every single episode. She's one of those people, Oti, who just really understands souls. I know that sounds weird. It sounds like quite creepy, souls, but she does. She really gets you. She's a magical person. So go and listen to her podcast, The Rhythm of Life. You can get it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You're going to really like it. All right, everybody, stop rambling. And if you're still meditating, you can listen to this podcast and meditate. Here we go. Episode, I can't remember what one, but it's over 200. Thomas Turgoose on the podcast.
Welcome back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back.
By the way, Tomo, we haven't told you this, but we've already done an intro for you, so we don't need to do another intro.
Oh, right,
okay. They already know it's you. Do you know what? They've clicked on the podcast and they've seen your name there, so...
Yeah. And it's a very unusual name as well, isn't it? It's kind of a bit like...
This has become Jamie's, like, stock intro. He just tells the guests.
I noticed that.
He says, because, by the way, we've already done an intro about...
Yeah, I thought I was special, but then I remembered...
Like, their minds are going to be blown by...
Previous episode, and he said exactly the same thing to Olivia.
It's totally new. Yeah.
Do you know what? I only do that technique. I only do that to actors, because I feel like actors can't feel comfortable unless they know that they've had an intro.
No, the only time we're comfortable is when we're pissed.
But I think that's with everyone, right? I think that's why we drink, is because it actually makes us feel a little bit more comfortable when we're...
I'm not sure if it makes us more comfortable or just that means just that we don't care as much. That's maybe what it is.
I always thought this actually happened to me the other day, so I'll be really honest with you guys.
Yeah,
so
go on.
My girlfriend kept saying to me, "You're a really bad drunk." And I was like, why? And she
standard.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm not that bad at drunk. She said, yeah, you are. And do you remember when that video of David Hasselhoff came out when his daughter recorded him and he was on the ground eating a hamburger?
Yeah.
Vaguely. I do.
Classic viral video.
So it wasn't like that, but Sophie, I got drunk, and I don't really get that drunk anymore, but I had a drink and I got drunk, and...
That's funny you say that, because the first time I ever met you, I think you was blind drunk, it was at the Channel 4 thing years ago.
Hey, Tomo, don't you dare...
I just agree with Sophie, fully agree with her.
I didn't think you'd remember that. That is the time that I met you.
Yeah, the first time, yeah, very long time ago, yeah.
Oh my God, we're going to get into this. So anyway, yeah. She recorded me drunk... And then showed it back to me the next day. And I have, until that moment, thought I was really funny drunk. I'm really not.
What were you doing?
Really? Yeah, can we get this video?
Shouting. In my head, it's like sense. And then I watched this video back. I was like, that's shocking.
I find that I shout a lot. If I'm on FaceTime, say if I'm FaceTiming someone, Charlotte will sit next to me and she'll be like, you're shouting really loudly. So if I'm like in FaceTime in public, say if I'm in the supermarket, I'll be on FaceTime and I'm like, yeah, we kick off at what, 7 o'clock? Yeah. And she's like, you're shouting. You don't need to shout. They can hear you.
Firstly, so many questions. Why are you drunk in the supermarket?
No, just in general. I do it sober. Yeah, I do it sober. Yeah. Yeah,
I know, I just think I do that, because I think maybe that when I'm on the phone, I seem to shout, but I think it's maybe because I'm slightly deaf in one ear.
What?
So I it sounds quiet, so I think I have to
Francis
shout.
Francis didn't get the what? Francis continued.
Hello,
continue
Francis.
With it.
Yeah, Thomas, nice to meet you, mate.
Oh, sorry. Didn't you quite hear me? Because I'll speak up a little bit.
For the rest of the podcast, we should just ignore him. Just completely forget
Thomas, also, your name is Thomas Turgoose, right?
Turgoose.
Turgoose would be double barrel.
Now you're making me question it now. I don't know how to pronounce it. Turgoose. Yeah.
But, goose. Turgoozy.
But what's your nickname?
Well, I've got a couple. So I've got Turd Goose is a nickname that stuck when I was a kid. But I guess the older that I get, the more it changes. I've always been known as Tomo.
Mm-hmm.
And people only ever call me Thomas when, like my dad, if he's annoyed at me. Mm-hmm. Like, Thomas, you're shouting on it, FaceTime again. or Tomo. And then a lot of people now, particularly when I'm playing football, I get called Goose. So if I've got the ball, they're all shouting Goose.
And I like Top Gun.
A couple, really. Yeah. Just not as cool.
Well, no, because Goose is the one that dies. You don't want to be...
I've never seen Top Gun.
Haven't you?
No.
What?
You should watch it.
Yeah, I work in telly, so I don't like watching it.
I reckon you're one of those people who haven't seen The Godfather.
I haven't seen The Godfather.
Yeah, nor have I.
Oh, really?
You've never seen The Godfather?
No, I've never seen The Godfather.
You should really watch it.
Why?
Why?
Because it's
why
actually really
it?
Good.
Okay, fair enough.
Well,
it's a classic.
I guess so. What are other classics that we can think of? I mean, Titanic's a classic, isn't it?
Titanic yeah, yeah. It is a classic, yeah. Yeah. I would say The Godfather is more of a classic.
Oh, really? Yeah. Wait, is there any films that you've watched recently?
A modern classic?
Like a modern, yeah. Is there anything that you're going to be like, in 5 or 10 years, you're going to be like, wow, that's a huge film and still is?
Yeah, actually, yes. I think 1917.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you not think so? Is
that... not really. Was it Sam Mendes that directed? Yeah. If he's listening, I mean, yeah, it was great. But if he doesn't ever listen to this, then no, it wasn't for me. It wasn't for me. I don't know. I just got a bit like... I think I wanted it to be more. I think
The problem with you, Tom, is that you wanted to see more death. That's what you like. It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. Gore-y.
I mean, it was very well made, but I don't know. Maybe I should watch it again.
It was well produced. I like that long shot. Right, that was that famous long shot.
But maybe I should watch it again because I watched Joker for the first time with Joaquin Phoenix.
I still haven't seen that.
And the first time I watched it, I was a bit like not sure. But then I watched it again the second and the third time, and that for me is probably a modern classic.
Yes. Yeah. But also, you, being an actor, right, that is like an intense role to do.
Yeah. And you know, Joaquin Phoenix is very intense anyway in the things that he does, and you get that sort of, you sense that when you watch his interviews and you sort of like listen to the way that he speaks about the roles that he's already played. And then obviously there's the Curse of the Joker, you know, that people sort of take it on board and get a bit carried away with it.
Yes.
And I was kind of a bit worried for him in a way that, you know, if the Curse of the Joker was a real thing, then anyone who's going to get sucked in by it would be Joaquin Phoenix. So, but I
can imagine you'd be quite a good, maybe a good Riddler.
A good Riddler?
I think you'd make a good penguin.
A good penguin? Because of the way that I walk?
I don't know. I would just think that would be... I could be Robin and you could be the penguin. We could just make this...
Oh, are we on about Batman now?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. I've never seen Batman either.
What? But the Joker is from Batman.
Yeah, I know that. I get that. But, I watched The Dark Knight Rises, the one with Heath Ledger. Yeah. But I've never seen them all.
But when you get into a role... And we asked Olivia Cooke this as well, and she's a legend. And we asked her, do you go method into it or do you relax into it?
I wouldn't say method, but it's very like, I do get very sort of sucked up into what I'm doing, and like say even more so when it's like emotional. So if you've got you spend a day, I did a film for the National Film School called Stratum Deep, which isn't released yet, but that was basically me trapped down a mine and a collapsed coal mine, and it was very much just my face for the duration of the film. So I was very much in that, and the emotions and the struggles of how I imagine it would have been. But then I'd get back to the hotel at night.
That's
and
heavy,
I couldn't,
dude. That's heavy. You can't escape that.
But I couldn't switch off. I got back to the hotel at night, and I'd ring my wife, and she'd be like, "Are you all right?" And I'm just like, "I'm fine. I'm just a bit like." Sort
claustrophobic.
Still, yeah, yeah, still
stuck
yeah.
in a mind.
But I'm still in that sort of frame of mind that you take yourself to, because what I like to do with my performances is I try and make them as real and as natural as I possibly can. So when you're shooting something like that, it does get a bit intense.
But how do you get into that role, right? For me, I wouldn't understand how to find those emotions if I hadn't experienced it. But I'm not an actor, right? I haven't trained.
Hey,
so how
Jamie,
you...
come on.
Yeah, sorry. Do you know what? I put myself down every time. And I don't know why. I don't know why I do it. I'm a
he wants,
fucking good
he
actor.
Wants, he wants you, Tomo, to say, no, you are an actor. I
no,
saw
you
on...
You're great. You are great.
What was that thing you were on?
Hold on, I'll start that bit again. Hold on. I'm not an actor.
No. I mean, you are. I mean, I've seen some of your work. You are great. Yeah, this is me being a very bad actor now, isn't it?
But I think, how do you find that emotion? How do you know what the emotion is, or do you just guess?
It's one of those. I mean, like everybody, you know, everyone's been through a lot in their lives. I had a very tough upbringing when I was a kid. I lost my mum at a very young age. I've lost friends very close to me. So I guess I kind of just take myself back to how I've felt about that. And music's a big help. I've got a playlist on my phone of, you know, old funeral songs that and things like that, which is why it can be very sort of, not dangerous, but you take yourself to that level of emotion that you've experienced before, particularly as a kid. So you listen back to that music and you take yourself back to the things that you went through. And then when they say cut, and that's a wrap, you don't just switch that off. You've still taken yourself back to the things that have happened in your life. So when you get back to your hotel, you're still in that sort of emotional state of mind. So I guess music's the main thing for me.
Being
on my own. I like to be on my own if I've got things like that, if I've got to shoot like emotional things.
Tom, can I ask a personal question? Feel free not to answer. How did your mum pass away?
So my mum passed away of lung cancer.
Really?
When I would have been 14. So not long after we finished filming This Is England, my mum was there throughout the whole of the shooting. But she passed away later on that year. So she never actually got to see the finished product of the film, which was obviously a huge shame. But what I didn't know is Shane Meadows, who wrote and directed the film, who's become family to me, and he was family to my mum. The first time that we watched the movie was over in Rome, and I went with my dad, and I must have been 15. And we got, I mean, probably a 15-minute standing ovation of the film, which was so unexpected. And for a kid who'd never acted before, for people who spoke a different language to me to be so obsessed with the film was insane. And at the end of the film, it says, "In love and memory of Sharon Turgoose." And Shane never told me that he'd dedicate the film to my mum. So at the end of the film, you've got the emotions of everything that you've been through on set and how much your life's changed. And then also to know that he dedicated the film to my mum was like, yeah, it was one of the most beautiful things that anyone.
A brilliant movie, actually. I have to say. I mean, even a modern classic, I would say.
That's a really modern, brilliant film. It's been a long time now. I think it's been 15 years since we made it.
Do you know what? And I want to talk about this. I just think it's so. And thank you for sharing that, because I think, I feel so sorry for people who have to deal with like grief and things like that at such a young age, because you can't process the emotions. You don't understand what to do, right?
No. And it's kind of like people say if you don't mourn properly when it happens, you know, it can catch on with you later on in life. And I guess people mourn differently in their own ways. And, you know, I was so distracted by life in general. You know, I was growing up, I was a 14, 15-year-old boy that was experiencing travelling the world and people coming up to me in the streets and asking for photos and going to award ceremonies. And I also, growing up, as just a kid, you know, I was 15-year-old, so I was experimenting with new friends and playing football and women and everything that, you know, a kid goes through. So I guess I was so distracted by everything that was happening in life that, you know, well, yeah. I mean, look, people mourn differently.
You think what happens is like maybe you distracted yourself with all these different things, right? And so that's what sort of possibly helped. I don't know.
I think massively, because, you know, I was I don't want to say I didn't have time to process everything, because you process it in your own way. But from the age of 14 till probably 19, I probably spent hardly any time at home. Yeah. So I was always working, and I was putting everything that I was going through into my performances as a kid. I guess I was just so like, got so swept up in the industry. And again, also just growing up, and I had a great group of friends around me and great family and, you know, such a supportive network of people around me that I had back then. That I still have today, you know, people like Shane Meadows and Stephen Graham.
That is so important. That base, right, that you can always return to and rely on is so important. People reject it. People grow up and like look for new things all the time and all that kind of stuff. But actually, your base is what is so important.
And that's what keeps you grounded almost. But I remember when we had the wrap party for This Is England, Stephen Graham. He was speaking to my mum, and he promised my mum, and he said, "I promise you now, I will never let Tomo go off and be forgotten about." He said, "I will do everything in my power to make sure that I make you proud of him." And even now, Stephen Graham is one of the most famous people in the world probably at the minute. But to me, he's still the man that made that promise to me all them years ago. So you sort of forget everything that he's doing in his career. And, you know, there isn't a day go by where I don't buzz my tits off for him because of, you know, he deserves to be where he is. But also to me, him and Shane and Joe Hartley and everybody involved in that film and my family. And that's, you know, for that, I owe him everything, you know.
He's fantastic, Stephen Graham. I met him actually once outside. Where did I meet him? Outside the Soho Hotel with his dogs. He's got those little. Does he have his little pugs?
Yeah. So he's got two. They're called Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never known that he takes them to London with him.
What did you say to him, Francis? Hello.
I don't know. He's a huge fan of your work. You know, he's fantastic. Actually, it was probably a few years after This Is England came out.
Yeah, he's on a new level now. It seems like he got to an age and everything just happened for him. And, you know, and I think that, you know, sometimes when I have sort of a couple of months out of work, it can get tough as an actor because you're like, I don't want to be forgotten about. I you know, I need to keep relevant. Whereas Stephen, after This Is England, I think he never worked or had a single audition for 2 years. And now, you look at Stephen's career, it's just gone up and up. And he must have been, I don't know, late 30s, early 40s when he really started to fly.
Yes.
So I sit and think, you know, it's never too late. You've just got to keep grinding. And it's the same in any industry, you know. In anything that you're doing, if you feel like you're not getting anywhere, eventually you are slowly building up this body of work and you are going to, you know, you are going to excel and you are going to, you know, be the best.
Well, I think people find, I mean, what I find surprising, you know, is, you know, you look at some like really big actors or, you know, on their IMDb or whatever, and you can see some of them, you know, they have periods of like not working for like a year, 2 years, you know, it's kind of even completely normal for the most well-known actors.
Yeah, but you sketch out when that happens. You think, oh God, I've got to stay relevant, got to stay relevant.
Yeah, and it's such a tough sort of trying to find that balance because, as I mentioned earlier on, from the age of 14 to 19, I never really saw any of my friends because I was so busy. And then I made a conscious decision. I was like, at a certain point, I'm going to have a bit of time off and I'm going to spend time with my friends. And now, as an adult, I'm a bit like, oh shit, because I was, you know, there was auditions that I wasn't bothered about or I was turning jobs down. And now with a man with a mortgage to pay and a baby due in September, I'm like, what if I never had that time off? Where would I have been? But then it's about where would I have been or who would I have been? Because if I never had that time off, I wouldn't have had the time to grow as Tomo. You know, I'd have just been off being, because I think, particularly for me, because I live in Grimsby and I've got such a normal life. And I've got a normal friendship group. I live a totally different life when I'm away in London, like we were speaking earlier on, Jamie, when we're at the, you know, you're at these Channel 4 parties. And you're with all these amazing people and people are giving you free drinks and, everyone's, you know, hailing, oh, you're amazing. And then I get back to Grimsby and everyone's like, I don't give a fuck about your parties. You know, it's your round. Get the Carlin in. So it's kind of, if I didn't have that normality, then I don't know where I would have been, so...
No one has ever said to me, oh, we think you're great. No one has ever come.
No one's ever said to me, get the Carlin in.
Carlin?
Carlin, what?
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I want to try and squash a rumor or make me the happiest person in the world because I'm a huge fan of yourself. I was in a huge fan of Shane Meadows. You played Sean Fields in This Is England. And
well done, you've done your research. Well done.
I already knew it. Didn't even need to research. Already knew it. But I always had a rumour that when you went into the audition for it, they said, we'll give you a fiver if you read these lines. And you said, all right, fine. And you, that's what happened. That's how you got the job or something like that.
Nearly, nearly. So what did happen is Des Hamilton, who's now, you know, one of the most successful casting directors in the UK. So Des Hamilton was casting for a young kid who'd never acted before. And I come around the corner, saw there was a big group of people, and I thought, was there a fight going on? I thought, is this a big crowd of busy? Is there a fight? So I went running over, and they said, oh, they're auditioning.
Is there a fight?
Is like, there a fight? Yeah. You can never turn down a good scrap change, can you? Hey?
I run for them. Is there a fight?
No, so I'd seen this big group of people, and they were saying, oh, they're auditioning for this film. Shane Meadows, and I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I'm only a kid, I'm only 14. And Des Hamilton asked me if I wanted to audition for this film, and I thought, well, I'm just Tomo from the East Marsh. I'm never ever going to be put in a film. So I thought, I'm not going to waste my time here. You know, I'm going to get something for this. So they said, do you want to audition? And I said, yeah, I'll do the audition if you give me a fiver. So I actually asked for the fiver for the audition.
Oh, my God.
And Des Hamilton was just like, eh? I was like, yeah, I want a fiver. If you're having my time, I want something for it. So I got my fiver. I did my little audition clip, which is available on YouTube, actually. It's really funny.
Did you you didn't do it on the street. You recorded
it. No,
like
it was in a youth centre that I used to go to when I was a kid. So I did that audition, and then they said, can we have your mum's telephone number to get in touch if we want to go forward? So I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. That's a number. And then a couple of days later, my mum got a phone call from Mark Herbert, the producer, said, oh, Shane Meadows wants to meet Tomo. They think he's great. Will he come back to the youth centre and meet Shane? And my mum was like, Tomo, get off your Xbox. And I'm like, what? I said, that movie guy, they want to meet you again. And I said, oh. So whatever. I said, tell him I want a tenner. So I'm not doing it for free. So I got a tenner for the next audition, and so on and so on. And obviously they needed to get in touch with me directly. So I said, oh, well, I haven't got a mobile phone, so you need to buy me a mobile phone. So it's just because I never thought that I was ever going to do anything like that. So I was like, at least want to get a bit of something out of it.
Well, but that, yeah. Mate, where does that inner confidence go? Because that's confidence, right? It's just more like, it's not confidence. It's like entrepreneurial spirit. It's like, well, you just...
Yeah. I don't know, where does that come from? I guess I was just so confident as a kid. You know, I was brought up in rough estates of Grimsby, and, you know, I guess I spent a lot of time in the pub as a kid with my mum.
My mum used to spend
a lot of time in the pubs, and, you know, I always remember, but my mum was single, and I'll always remember my mum was in a pub called the Tap and Spile, which isn't open anymore, and I remember there was a guy chatting my mum up. And he was talking to her long, and I knew that I was doing his head in, cock blocking, if you will. and he was saying to me, go and play pool. And I said, all right, give me a fiver or give me £2 and I'll leave you alone for a bit. So I ended up getting money. So technically I was pimping my mum out at a very young age. which now, in the grand scheme of things,
but you knew, because then testing that, you knew that people were willing to give cash over if they wanted.
I guess, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm still like that now, I guess. I don't know. I'm just kind of, I think if there's a way of making a bit of money and you know you can do that, then you're obviously going to do it.
Are you your own agent as well?
No, sadly not. I do have a proper agent. But yeah.
Charging your agent. Yeah, I'm going to take 10% from you.
Can you imagine if nowadays, I don't know. Well, Sam Mendes definitely isn't going to ring after I slag this film off. But I don't know. Say Spielberg phones. I love Spielberg, if you are listening. If he phones me up for an audition and says, do you want to audition for Ready Player 2? I'd be like, yeah, £20. It'd be like, what? No, it don't work like that.
Mate, but how weird is it, right? If you hadn't have walked around that corner, your life would be possibly pretty different.
Well, I mean, the upbringing that I had with my mum was a single mum, and she tried her best. She had four boys on her own, and...
Wow.
I guess I was just kind of out of control a little bit. I knew my boundaries of how I could, of what I could get away with. And I mean, I was destined for prison, I think. You know,
really, were you?
Yeah, I really was. I was. I said before in an interview, you know, now as an older, as a man, I realised that I used to say, oh, maybe I'm knocking around with the wrong people, but that wasn't the case. You know, I was one of the wrong people. We was all, we just got up to, we got up to the wrong things collectively as a group. And
what were you doing? Were you stealing stuff? What kind of stuff were you doing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was shoplifting a lot. Just also things that we didn't need. I remember.
Well, like mops or something, I mean, like that.
Focus. Well, not far off. There was a hardware store in Grimsby called Focus Do It All. I'm not sure if it's even a thing anymore. Well, they can't sue me now. I've got away with it now. But I remember we used to steal spray paint for no reason. But we used
to go into the back
and throw it over the fence. Just things like that. But you never know, you know, when, as you get older, you know, drink and drugs then get involved. And then things that, you know, I've witnessed it firsthand. I know people who've struggled with alcohol and drink, and they will go to whatever length they need to get what they need. And, you know, with crime being an easy way of doing that, I guess it's kind of, yeah, I mean, I'm just so lucky that, If I never met Shane that day, who knows? Who knows what would have happened? I mean, my mum passing away had a huge impact on my life. I moved in with my dad, who I didn't hardly know. And he lived a totally different lifestyle. You know, he lived in a nice area of Grimsby. He worked all his life. He had a nice car. So I moved in with my dad, and very quickly he got me back into school. I mean, I was always respectful. You know, I always had manners, and I always presented myself in a way, but yeah, who knows what
that's so interesting. That's insane that you all of this happens, and you have to move in with somewhat of a stranger, and then sort of change your life around and sort of
I sat in the bedroom for days and weeks, and I was so confused. I was like, this isn't the lifestyle that I'm used to. And I spent a lot of time with Shane Meadows and Stephen Graham. You know, they agreed between them that if they didn't get on with my dad, or if they didn't see my dad fit to bring me up, they was going to adopt me.
Whoa.
So I was, you know, but they met my dad, and my dad is a proper bloke. Like, he's worked his ass off his whole life, and he's respectable. And yeah, he's now me and my dad are best friends now. Whereas when I moved in with him, I didn't know him. So I was a bit like, confused. So yeah, maybe I.
And also, you're at that age where you just, nothing's right. You're at the age where, you know, you know everything. You want to fight your way out of every corner. You don't care. And so then it's hard to, you know, someone stepping into your life and trying to take control of it, because you reject everyone.
Yeah, and he completely put order into my life, which I wasn't used to, and yet, but I didn't rebel against it. I wasn't like, because my normal self-defense in situations like that when I was a kid was to kick, scream and swear. Whereas when I was at my dad's, I was so like, I just kind of got on with it. But I guess the main thing for me now, and from the day my mum passed away, was I want to work and prove to her that I'm not the kid that I was.
Yeah.
And I'm now, you know, I'm a hardworking, honest man. And yeah, I guess just trying to make her proud of me. And that's all I can ever do now. So I think that, you know, whether it would have been in the acting world, or whether it would have been in joinery or anything, I guess I think losing my mum was kind of the turning point for me to, I kind of grew up overnight, if you like.
Mate, you've done that in abundance, 100%, without a doubt. You know,
was joinery an option at one time?
I mean,
time?
It still is. You know, lockdown's been tough, it still is.
I don't even know what joinery is. What is,
of course
joinery?
You don't. Of course you don't know what joinery is. You just get a man in.
Do you want to hear the worst thing is? When I once got IKEA bedside tables, and it arrived, and I got someone to come round to build the
floor. Did you really? Yeah, of course you did.
Probably cost more than the bedside tables.
Yeah, so Charlotte, my wife's pregnant, and she's due in September, and she did the same. She ordered loads of stuff, like wardrobes and the cot and the bed and changing. I don't even know what she's ordered, but a guy knocks on the door, and I was like, I thought, I don't know, it could only be like two boxes, and he was like, we've got loads, and he bought in 7, 8, 9 huge boxes, and Charlotte sort of went off and got her hair done or her nails done and left me with a screwdriver. And I'm like, but I managed to do it. I managed to get
bullshit.
It all up.
You got someone over to help
no,
you.
I did. I had my mate Eve, who's, he's, I don't know there what he does. He's just one of those guys. He's just a handyman.
Yeah, that's it. So you get your mates to do it. You just get your mates because it's cheaper. You're like, oh, I'm not going to pay for something to do it, so I'm just getting my mates to come do it.
But he's one of them, like, he's one of them anything. Oh, my shower's broke, Eve. Oh, he'll come sort it. And we, because it was when the lockdown restrictions was eased, and I said to him, Charlotte's going to, because my wife makes a great Sunday dinner, and Eve always comes round for him. And I said to him, Charlotte's going to make a roast dinner on Sunday, mate. Be ready for about 5:30. So if you want to come at about 4 and bring your drill. And he bought his drill and he's put everything up in the bedroom for us. And yeah, and he's probably done more. He's done more for the baby than I have, other than conceive it. It's amazing.
Hey, listen, Tom, we got to that point in the podcast where, Francis, we need to have the question of the week.
So, Tom, are you a gambling man?
That's so strange. I mean, it's weird to say that, because as I was waiting to be let into the Zoom, I was actually watching like a TikTok live of a woman who gambles on the Vegas Strip daily on live.
Oh, really?
And I kind of thought to myself, am I addicted to gambling now, because I'm watching it on TikTok? But I'm not a gambler.
But wait, what is she doing? The slots?
She's on the slot machines, yeah. But I mean, I don't...
Wait, hang on.
So she's live streaming the slots?
You're watching someone live stream someone do slots?
Oh, yeah, she's still on, I think. Yeah, there you go. Can you see it? She's on there, look. It's paused at the minute, but she just live streams the slots. I don't know, trying to beat the system, or I don't know. But in answer to your question, I do like gambling, but I'm like... Yes. Just the odd little football bet, or you know, just a tenner.
Fruit machines.
Yeah, I'm not like an avid like blackjack or anything.
I have a friend who like somehow just always wins the fruit. He's like, apparently there's a way of like always winning the fruit machines.
No, there's not. Because I think there is a way.
So
there
you can get these things. Again, going back to spending a lot of time in a pub, you can get the keys for the fruit machines, so you can put them in. Yeah. And turn it, and it tells you on screen how much has gone in and how much it needs to get the jackpot. So you can put your key in and it'll say £48 till jackpot, and then you can just put, well, jackpot's 100 quid, so you can go, well, I can do that because it's 52 quid up. They're obviously illegal, you can't use them. Yeah. But people in pubs in Grimsby, you'll see them, they'll put the key in and then get
go
a jackpot.
Check it out.
Yeah, yeah. But I think nowadays,
so can you just keep putting them in, and then you get the jackpot eventually?
Yeah, that's it. So it tells you what to get to. But nowadays, with the modern day fruit machines, they're all totally different now. They're all done online. So
that is genius, Francis. Why do you say the gambling question?
Well, so my question of the week is: what are the odds of a coin toss?
Ah, Tomo, what do you think it is?
Well, like, the obvious answer is 2-1, but
yeah.
Don't you dare look at your TikTok or something.
The obvious answer is 2-1, but I know that I'm wrong.
It must be 2-1. It can't, unless something, some side is heavier, but it's not going to be heavier. It's got to be 2-1. It's got to be.
Yeah, I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong, but go on.
All right, we're going to save it for part two. You have to stick around for part two, buddy. That's how we get them in. That's how we well get done. Them in.
I'm making notes for my podcast.
All right, Tommy, you going to stick around for part two?
No, I'm going to go, mate. I'm starving.
Go and watch your live. All right, everyone, we'll see you in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.